Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, Fungal Associates?
You were recording this whole time?
Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I am one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson, and scrambling over there to get his tabs open is Casey Clapp.
Hi. Sorry. I'm here.
I sprung it on you.
Yeah, you did. I didn't know you were doing that the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I'll cut out our conversation.
Oh, please
so people
do,
will
Alex.
Just have to imagine what we were talking about.
It was the band Deer Tick.
Okay, hold on.
Sorry, I gave it away.
Wow, you lifted the veil and all that's behind it is a frail little man that calls himself the Wizard of Oz.
And all he's doing is playing a piss poor guitar and spilling beer on us.
That'd be funny. A Wizard of Oz, and the wizard is like just like the most despicable, just like con man.
Just he's absolutely like, he's not humble about it at all. He's not like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm
no.
such a bad guy. He's like, ah.
He like still tries to make you think that he's great and powerful.
Yeah, you know, I really think there should be a mashup of Scooby-Doo mm-hmm. and the Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
where the Scooby-Doo crew has to find out who this wizard is,
and,
like, track him down.
And yeah,
he would have got away with it if it wasn't for those
pesky munchkins.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the scarecrow.
Oh boy, Casey.
Yes, Alex.
I could talk about funny people and things all day.
So instead, we're going to talk about a very serious topic.
Yeah, very serious topic indeed, and that is a tree.
Yeah.
From the humorless land of Norway.
Humorless land.
I jest.
Everyone is now aware of what this tree is. How many groans do you think we heard? I feel like that could maybe have been registered on the Richter scale.
From Norwegians?
Not Norwegians. Actually, North Americans.
Oh, yes. Well, today we are talking about the much reviled Norway maple.
Boo,
right. Hiss, tomato.
Hey, stop. We're just, don't throw tomatoes at the messenger, people.
Yeah, that's
God.
Right. We're just here as a harbinger of doom. We're not the doom itself, right, Case?
Thank you, Alex. Finally, I feel seen.
Norway maple, Casey, it's what is that? Infamous tree.
Yes, infamous. Yeah, I think that's the best term.
Especially in urban, suburban areas.
Yes. Well, actually, suburban, probably not infamous because they don't know to hate it.
Oh, it's just famous.
It's just, I don't even know if it's famous. I think it's just under the radar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of like you are famous in like Bollywood and you come over to rural Montana and you're like, yeah, where I come from, I'm known. And they're like, cool.
Right.
Yeah. That is, I think, what that would be.
Interesting.
They wouldn't even know about it being bad or good. They would just think, oh, it's an oak tree. And you'd have to be like,
oh, because they, are you saying because they, suburbanites, now this is Casey's take on.
Whoa.
No, I won't get into that.
You be careful.
We're going to talk about the Norway maple. We got plenty to say. Trust us. But it's got to happen after a break. We'll be
yes.
right back.
Speaking of a harbinger of doom.
That's right. Here's some ads.
Here's a word from our sponsor.
We'll be right back with Completely Arbitrary. Hi, everybody. Or should I say, hola a todos. I want you to hear something. It's this. Yes, that is the sound of learning a new language with Babbel. You have, of course, heard of Babbel. You maybe even used Babbel. But if you haven't, Babbel is an app that helps you learn languages. Babbel is a science-backed learning language app that actually works. Let me put it this way. I knew somebody who used a different language app for 365 days and still could not even have basic conversations in the language they were learning on that app. Babbel is not this. They have quick 10-minute lessons and they're handcrafted by 200 language experts, so you can start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Because it's designed by real people for real conversations. In fact, a recent study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. And of course, the best way to learn a new language is immersion. You go and live in the place where the people speak the language you're learning. You speak to the people, they speak back. But the second best way is Babbel. And it's practical. It will very quickly teach you how to order food, ask for directions, speak to shopkeepers without having to consult language apps while you're on vacation. And here is a special limited time deal for our listeners right now. Get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for Fungal Associates at babbel.com/trees. That's right. If you're listening to this, if you're a fan of this show, babbel.com/trees. Get 60% off your subscription. That's babbel.com/trees. Rules and restrictions may apply. Adios. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-blooming. Those people are a-walking around. That sun is a-shining. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again, and it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee. Ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring! Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we are talking the Norway maple.
That's right, Alex. Acer platanoides.
Platanoides.
Yeah, I did over-enunciate that.
Yes, you did. But this is one of those. Listen, I don't want to give my score away in the first act here.
Please don't.
I have no love for this tree.
You'd have zero love for it.
Not zero.
Okay.
I guess I did say no love.
Yeah.
I've got an inkling of a mild disinterest.
You have enough love that it would round down to zero.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
However, its scientific name is also very, to me, sounds very ugly.
Really?
Like, it sounds as ugly as this tree is.
Acer platanoides.
Platanoides. It reminds me of like platypus. Anoides is like like a nasally noides. I you see. Know?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that
wow,
one.
Wow, right off the bat. Okay, but you like the Don Redwood's name,
which is Metasequoia glyptostriboides.
Yeah.
That one I love.
The sing-songiness, I guess the rhythm of the glyptostriboides is better than platanoides.
For sure.
Yeah, I guess it is. Isn't that funny how that works with language? Like the hard and soft sounds. Mm-hmm. Like I learned about this talking about poetry at some point, and I was like, that is a curious idea.
Yeah.
Turns out someone thought of that a long time ago.
You know, that's a big thing. And I read a lot of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite genre of fiction overall, I would say, is sci-fi and fantasy. It's two separate genres. And that's a big thing.
Same genre.
Come on. Stop that. You're going to get me on a rant here. One of the things you'll find reading a lot of those books is that naming is very important.
Uh-huh.
And the name of a person or a place to do with it, sort of like, it's sort of alignment in D&D terms, you know, are these like evil warfaring people. Mm-hmm. Then they have a hard consonant name, you know, the Breckians or the Klingon, right?
The orcs.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then the more peaceful people or characters will have softer names with lots of vowels. And,
that's
something you find.
Yeah, this is, it's so curious.
Casey could not be more disinterested.
That is not true, Alex. Oh, my God.
Casey, let's imagine that you and I are walking just outside here on the streets of Portland.
Yes.
And we come across some Norway maple, maybe King Crimson variety.
Oh, perhaps.
And almost surely. And Casey, let's ID this tree with faces of disgust.
Well, Alex, first off, just look at it.
Yeah, it's not great.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it, Alex. I can't do this because sometimes they look really nice.
Okay.
So I'm going to imagine in my heart that I'm walking down the street and I found one of those really nice ones.
Okay, good.
I'm like, look at that beauty.
Yeah.
What is, oh my gosh, that's a Norway maple. Wow.
Where you would go, wow, this is a oh my God. It kind of changes your perspective momentarily.
Yeah, exactly.
So you walk away. Then
until you walk away, yeah. And then you vomit on the next one you see. All right. Well, this is, of course, a maple, which means that it is oppositely arranged leaves and it has a samara. Those are the two big things,
okay,
right?
Okay. And a samara.
A double samara, excuse me.
Wow, a double samara.
Yes.
Samara, for our new listeners, is a bract-like wing on the seed.
Wow.
That helps in seed dispersal.
Alex, you didn't even, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Look at you.
I felt very confident.
You're confident. I'm stunned.
As a child or playful adult, you might have taken some of these samaras and thrown them up in the air and see them helicopter down.
Yeah, which is why we colloquially call them helicopters.
That's right.
Wow. That was so good. Oh my God. I'm just so happy with
that. Hey, you know what? I'm taking over. This is a coup.
All right. Everyone, that's the end of the podcast. that means that I now get to do your job, which gives me, Alex, the actual control.
Oh boy.
Yeah. You don't know this, but you've been in control this whole time.
I'm the Lucille Bluth of the outfit.
Yeah. Yes, you are. I hit all the money in the banana tree.
Wow.
Not a real tree.
There's always money in the banana tree.
That's so good. Okay, focus up. Focus up, Alex.
Wow. That's rich.
We are walking down the streets of Portland.
Yes, we are.
We are walking down the streets of Portland or Seattle or literally any other place in the northern section of North America.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be finding Norway maples everywhere.
Yeah.
They have been planted as ornamental trees, as street trees, for absolutely decades. They were first brought over in the commercial trade around the late 1700s, early 1800s.
Really?
Yeah. They were one of the first trees to come over when people really started bringing over trees and plants from the European shores to North America.
From Norway proper?
It is actually native to all of Central Europe, all the way down into like the mountains of Italy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a very widespread tree. Cool. But in that, of course, makes sense because it can be planted almost anywhere over here in North America as well. Now, it's a big tree. It's not like a giant tree, but it's a good-sized tree.
It is.
70 feet or so is its max height, and it likes to grow between maybe 40 and 60 feet would be generally the highest you could ever expect it.
It is one of those trees that looks bigger than it is.
It totally is. It's not full. Giant. It's just, it looks like a full-grown big tree, but its proportions are all just like a little bit smaller.
Yeah, like using the transform tool in Photoshop.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you, Alex, for really spelling it out.
Thank you.
I also don't know what that is. You just taught me a thing that I didn't know about. It's a interesting tree in that it has a perfectly round crown, but it doesn't really maintain a central leader. So one of the trees that most people are also familiar with is the sugar maple.
Yeah.
The sugar maple differs in form in that the sugar maple tends to maintain one dominant central leader its entire life.
You're talking about a main stem, the trunk.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. And then branches will come up and out from it.
Sure.
The Norway maple kind of splits early and then just becomes a big globe. Like you can't ever say, oh, well, there's the central leader. It just becomes this kind of wide open canopied branched structure.
Gotcha.
It's very nice architecture. I don't have actually anything against it.
Yeah, me too.
It tapers very quickly though. So again, this is the proportion size where it can be a big base, but then as it grows up and out, those branches go from very large to very small in a very small, shorter amount of time than you'd expect.
Hmm.
So our big leaf maple, our native one, does the exact opposite, where it will be big, but it will taper very slowly as it grows up and gets very tall. But our big leaf maple can grow almost three times the size. Like they can get up to like 150, 175 feet.
Is that because it's in its native range? Like does the Norway maple grow bigger in Central Europe?
It probably does, just a little bit. Okay. So that's when it would reach its like 75 foot max area.
Gotcha.
But mostly for our big leaf maple, it's that it's grown around the competition of gigantic conifers.
Oh, sure.
So if it didn't get big, it would just be outcompeted, or it would have to take the vine maple kind of route where it just becomes a low, small understory tree.
Okay.
So you look at this tree, you see this big crown, and right now, right off the bat, we should know there are hundreds. No, okay, not hundreds. I see 45 different cultivars of this tree.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good amount. And some of these are straight up and down. Some of them are very short and stay like under 30 or 40 feet tall. Don't get any higher. Some are very dense. Some are purple. Some are other colors. So if you are walking down and you see a tree that you think might be a Norway maple, but it doesn't get that taller, it's got a weird shape, it's not globular, it's more dense and tall and skinny or something, it's probably still a Norway maple.
Just one of these varieties.
Exactly.
Cultivars.
Cultivars,
is there a difference between cultivar and variety?
Yes. So cultivar just means cultivated variety, whereas a variety, senso stricto, meaning in the strict sense, is a naturally occurring variety of that tree. So take the lodgepole pine.
Okay.
Shore pine is on the coast, and the lodgepole, the tall straight ones, grow in the mountains.
So shore pine is a variety of lodgepole.
Exactly. So that would be Pinus contorta variety contorta, Pinus contorta variety latifolia.
But if like tree scientists, like genetic tree scientists, took the lodgepole pine and made a bunch of different types for different purposes, those would be cultivars.
Correct.
Okay.
And it doesn't always have to be a geneticist. They can also just plant a bunch of seeds and see what the genetic differences are just from the seeds doing their own sexual reproduction themselves, or the trees rather.
Okay.
Then you say, oh, so this one is developing a bit more rounded crown, or this one has a little bit more upright growth, and you find the two most upright growth trees, you breed those together, then you do that a few times until you have a tree that is really showing very particular characteristics that are slightly different than what you'd see in the native species growing wild wherever.
I got you.
Then essentially they name it and they say, this is Cleveland, Columnar, Conquest, Crimson King, that kind of thing.
Crimson King.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have some trait, and you basically have to define what that trait is and say, this is the purple variety that grows upright, and I am naming it upright purple variety.
I see.
And that is the cultivar name, but there's like the scientific side of it where it's like the patent office. So J. Frank Schmidt often is a big nursery around here that would do a lot of the breeding.
Hmm.
They would take these and say, here is this tree and it is JFK or JFS 123X50. And that is their official title. But then the trade name that they sell it as is like Emerald Sunshine. So it gets a little silly.
So cultivars don't have their own scientific binomials?
No, they would just have, you put them in a single quote after the name.
Oh.
Without saying anything before it. So it would be Acer Platinoides Crimson King. Crimson King would not be italicized and it would be in quotes.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, there I learned something new. Thank you.
I got you, Alex. India of the week.
I think that's important to bring up, and I won't edit it out, although it is edit worthy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I won't edit it out because this tree is one of those trees that just has a shit ton of cultivars.
It does, and they're planted all the time everywhere.
Yeah.
So and there's more coming.
That's good base knowledge,
I think. Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. So as you get closer to this tree, you'll notice that the bark is, it's one step, I think, above utility bark.
Okay.
Like, it's not uninteresting. It's got a nice pattern, and that pattern is very ridged. So it kind of breaks up into very, very thin plated ridges.
Yeah.
And they're very uniform along the entire stem.
I know this bark well. I would call it utility plus.
I think so. Utility plus is perfect. Yeah. So it's not going to jump you, or you're not going to jump out of your skin when you see it.
That's not going to jump me.
It's also not going to jump you. The trees remain still. and it's just, it's fine, but it's very noticeable. When you see it, you know exactly that you're dealing with that tree.
Yeah.
Another common one we talked about recently is the red maple. This looks very different than the red maple, who has these big, wide plates that kind of bend off a little bit, but they're usually flat and gray. This is a dark gray with very specific ridges. It actually looks more like an ash tree, in my opinion.
Interesting.
Than it does any other maples that we have. Maybe the big leaf maple, but big leaf maple is, you know, everything on a big leaf maple is one size bigger.
Yeah.
Now, once you look at the bark, you're like, great, cool, whatever. I don't care about the bark. Also, this form, it's not really like doing much for me. I guess it's a utility form tree as well.
Oh, woof.
Oof, yeah. You look at the leaves, Alex, and you're like, okay, this is nice leaves. These aren't bad leaves. They're good. Maple. Yeah. This is a quintessential maple leaf. There's no way to say it in any other way.
They're not utility. Yeah, I think you're right on, Casey. They're not utility leaves, but they are kind of basic.
They are. That's perfect.
I think a few years ago, young people would call them mid.
Oh God. Yes. These are mid and 5 years before that, they would call it basic probably.
Yeah.
100%.
It's probably more like 10 and 10.
Oh yeah. Okay. So this is a, depending on your age, folks, this is a basic, mid or dull leaf.
It doesn't enrapture me, would say the young people of the 1780s.
Man. Yeah. They were really hip back then. The other thing about these leaves, so they're oppositely arranged, as all maples are. They are palmately lobed.
Yeah.
So you'll see that there are usually five main lobes that you'll see. The two on the far left in the bottom, far right in bottom, are very minor, but you're always going to see them. So they're always going to be at least five-ish looking lobes. Each one of those lobes are then split again, the veins at least. And each one of those veins go out and usually end at another little kind of bristle tip at the end.
Yeah.
Now, sugar maple, the ends of those little bristles are rounded. They don't go to a very sharp, bristly tip.
Oh, yes, I see that.
Yeah, and this is one of the biggest things that people get confused with is these two, the sugar maple and the Norway maple. They look very similar if you're just looking at them, but if you put the leaves next to each other, you'd be like, oh yeah, these are completely different.
Yeah.
So you can find this everywhere on the internet, mostly if you're asking for a comparison between Norway and sugar maple, they'll give you a quick guide straight to the leaves.
I honestly think part of my, you know, looking at a Norway maple, part of my sort of attitude of like, I don't like that tree, is the sharpness of it all.
Really?
It's all very like abrasive to me.
Interesting.
Including the leaves.
That actually really checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. They're I like that.
And the color too. I've called the color grandma's couch.
It is. Yeah. It's like it's like if olive was just a little too saturated.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, the Crimson King variety.
Oh, the purple variety.
Yeah.
Oh,
that to me is grandma's couch.
I see. Grandma's couch. Like she bought it in 1975.
Yeah.
And has not ever done anything exactly, to it except yeah. sit on it for the last 50 years
and put some vinyl covering on it.
Yeah. Well, the this is actually the reason that the scientific name is Platanoides is because of the leaves, because the leaves resemble the plane tree, which is platanous.
Oh.
So they look ever so much like them.
Cool.
The big thing, if you're trying to tell apart the plane tree, the London plane or the American sycamore or any of these others, look at the leaf arrangement. Alternate is for all the other non-maple things. Opposite is for maples.
Are all maples oppositely arranged?
Every single one of them. I have yet to run into one that is not.
Good to know.
Yeah. Then the other thing, of course, is you find that the fruit is that double samara, those little helicopters we talked about.
Yeah.
And they will have a rose from a corum of flowers. Now, a corum...
What?
It's a globe-like ball of flowers.
Oh, okay.
And this is important because other maples have a pendulous raceme. So a raceme is one long kind of chain that comes down with individual flowers coming off left and right. So it looks very much like an elongated stem with flowers coming off.
Yeah.
A corum, they all grow out from one spot and they create this globe of flowers. So very, very circular, spherical kind of thing. So the flowers of these trees, the Norway maple, they come out, they're big, they're yellow, they pop out before the leaves. Mm. So you have this tree that's just yellow, 100% cool. yellow. And then those adorable little helicopters come out.
Oh, yeah.
And the way you can also tell the difference between this and other trees is that they come out, and my friend Tyler Roth one time did this, and I thought this was so funny and such a great idea. He said, if you're trying to tell the difference between trees, look at the mustache type. And I was like, what is he doing? And you flip over, I think it's on Instagram or something. And he's like, Hulk Hogan? Hell yeah. And it was a big leaf maple that has samaras that kind of go straight down, like Hulk Hogan's Fu Manchu or whatever his mustache is. His handlebar mustache, yeah. Then there, he said, hipster? We don't like it. And you look at it, and the next one is like a picture of a hipster with like a mustache that like comes out and flares up a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he had a mustache or a samara as a mustache.
Funny.
Because the Norway maples are consistently, whoops, and they come out and up.
Cool.
So they have a very flat kind of thing. So they look like hipster mustaches.
Wow.
Versus Hulk Hogan mustaches are more like maples that we have that are native.
Interesting.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that is fun.
There you go.
I love that.
That's I'm going to also include that in my tree ID book. A mustache wearer's guide to the maples in your area.
There you go, Case. I think that's perfect. I also it's hard to ignore how much like insect wings these samaras look.
Oh yeah, totally.
It's kind of creepy. I'm like, it's one of those things. It's like a, you know, the rattlesnake that makes its tail look like a spider.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this tree under, I know that's not the case that the tree is learning. It has no evolutionary advantage, I don't think.
Kind of cool if it did.
But it would be cool if it did though.
Just saying.
And especially if it had a shield generator and couldn't hit it because it had shields.
The trees, they learned how to be insects. All their fruit just becomes insects. What if we spread that as a new conspiracy theory?
Hey, speaking of fantasy and sci-fi, huh?
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Pretty fun.
Ooh, I'm into it.
Well, those are our tree ID characteristics.
That's right, Alex. Now I'm going to set my computer aside.
Wow. Casey's getting serious.
We have things to talk about.
Uh-oh. Are you getting a divorce?
Alex? Casey and computer love each other very much. But we are separating for the time being.
This isn't your fault.
Because I just want to talk to you right now.
All right.
I have two things that I had thought to talk about today.
Yes.
The first one is something we've talked about a little bit before, which is diversity in the urban forest.
Sure.
Norway maples are the most planted tree. I think I can say that comment.
Wow.
Like, very... I think it's probably second to the red maple in terms of how much it is planted everywhere.
Mm.
I cannot confirm that because most like tree inventories just say maple. And also, I'm not going to go through every tree inventory that's ever been done in any of these different cities. It's either a red maple or a Norway maple as the most planted maple species in cities, in yards, in the entire United States.
Maple species, not species overall.
No, correct. Well, a little bit of both.
Okay.
Because maples are most, like in most places, are probably 20% or more of the the trees planted in their streets. And this is mostly just street tree inventories.
And that may not sound like a lot, but when you realize how many species of trees there are available to plant, that's a huge margin.
Yeah. In Portland, we have easily 250 or more species of trees that are able to be planted here.
And 20% are Norway maple?
Yeah. That's I think 20, not Norway maple, but just maples in general, which would be your Norway, sugar, silver, red, the paper bark maple, trident maple, a few others that are not quite as popular, the hedge maple. Of all those combined, I think in Portland, it was something like 30 or 40%.
Oh,
and Norway maple was like 24%, like a damn near a quarter or more.
Wow.
All the trees planted in Portland streets.
One species. Holy shit.
That's insane.
That is absurd.
Insane. Other cities, exactly the same.
Wow.
If not Norway maple, all maples combined.
Yeah.
And it is a really dangerous situation. Because, as we know, if you get one disease that can just absolutely take out one species of tree, and your urban forest is made up strictly of that species, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have something that is like emerald ash borer that is not particular to a species of ash, but is particular to the genus ash, now you have all those maples or all those species that are in that genus super susceptible.
All that 40%.
That's incredible. You could lose that in no time, especially if it's something like a chestnut blight, you know, where its spores floating through the air. You can't stop that. It's impossible. Versus something like an insect where, yes, you can do some things, maybe, but also for Dutch elm disease, it's a teeny tiny little insect. Like you can barely even see it. Like 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 can be on a dime at one time.
Ah!
Like they're teeny tiny.
Also, but I would think also that being in a city complicates things too.
Yeah.
Because there's totally so much happening around you.
Yeah. There's pollution. The soil's horrible. There's not often enough water. There's all sorts of things. And that is what brings me to two things. First, this diversity talk. I wanted to bring it up because the last time we talked about diversity, we really just said we should focus our diversity more on species and genus. And we brought up the 10-20-30 rule. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was there shouldn't be in an urban forest.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be more than 10% of a single species.
Correct.
20% of a single genus.
Yes.
And 30% of a single family.
That's exactly right. You nailed it.
Yeah.
And now we poked holes in that.
How I remembered that. Alex, oh my God.
I think you're on today. Like you explained exactly what a samara is in like a technical sense. It was beautiful. You were looking at me the whole time. You weren't even reading from that.
That's true.
It's incredible.
Off the dome.
So that is one of the big holes we poked in that is that it is it represents a minimum. It doesn't represent how much diversity there should be.
Yeah.
So for instance, you could literally have 10 different species from five different genre and that meets that requirement.
Right.
So it doesn't really create diversity. It just says how not or how to avoid an overrepresentation. So one thing that I thought much about was that, well, you also need diversity in like 10,000 different other ways. You can have diversity in terms of spatial diversity. So you can have, actually, well, I'll take a step back. Diversity, if we say, yeah, we want a bunch of species, we want a minimum of 200 different species planted out of a minimum of 100 different genre. And then families, we'll worry about that later because I just don't want to keep doing that math. Then you would have a pretty significant diversity of trees. But if you plant all the Norway maples over here and you plant all the junipers over there, then you are not getting a diversity across the landscape.
Right.
You also are not getting a diversity in form if you do only broadleaf trees, which I have read planting guides that say thou shalt not plant conifers.
Really?
Only broadleaf trees.
Why?
I have no idea. Like, I have heard that they don't want shade getting onto the street in the wintertime because if there is a very cold climate and there's ice, they want the sun to hit it and warm it up.
Okay.
Fine.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Poor excuse because you're already going to salt the street anyway, if that's the case. So it's not, the sun isn't really changing a whole lot.
And that's such a, I mean, depending on where you're from, that's such a small slice of the year.
Yeah. And also the sticks of broadleaf trees still do a pretty significant amount of shading. So.
And needles are kind of natural, like, grip on ice.
Yeah. If you did put those down, that's true.
Yeah.
So that's one issue. There's also temporal diversity.
Temporal.
You want them to be over time, a diversity of sizes.
Oh.
And ages.
Ages of the trees.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Why is that important?
Well, because if all of your trees die of old age or start falling apart all at the same time, then you essentially have to start over. So if you have a lot of big old trees and you're like, they're getting decay, some of them are dying of this or of that or whatever, but you don't have a bunch of young trees growing and already established, then you could find yourself in a situation where, oh shit, we have no new trees being planted.
This is a thing in forestry too, right?
Yeah, right.
In regeneration. Agroforestry?
Mostly.
What is that?
Mostly in just normal forestry.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, where they want regeneration underneath, like coming up. So
yes.
If you take out the top trees, you already have a new generation.
Yeah.
Same exact concept.
Instead of like clear cutting and being like, well, we got to plant a bunch of new trees.
We're starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
So you have that. You also have diversity in like cultural senses where people really love trees that kind of represent or call back to something of their old home in any regard.
Sure.
Persimmon is a really good example where in Southeast Asia, persimmons are like really like a part of their cultural diet, especially in China and Japan, Korea. So those persimmons, if you plant them outside your yard, you're like, oh yeah, this is great. The Overstory also has a great example where they are talking about the silkworms and the mulberry tree.
This is the Overstory by
Richard Powers.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of different kinds of diversity.
And that's interesting.
You can also look around and say, well, we also need diversity of form and leaf type because we want diversity to have most of our trees growing, be evergreen so that in the rainy season, we have a nice amount of foliage to catch the rain. We also want to be able to catch pollution.
I also don't think we should brush by the quality of life that diversity of trees adds to the inhabitants of a place.
Yes.
Specifically city.
And that can also have to do with animals. So you also want a diversity of forms so that you have certain animals. So if you have only deciduous trees, you're not going to have any animals roosting in those. So then your quality of life, if you're a birder living in this area, you're not going to be able to see any birds
because
they like the evergreen trees.
And imagine you're from somewhere you're not from, Casey.
Yeah.
Imagine you are from Egypt.
Okay.
And you move to America.
Yeah.
And what are some Egyptian trees?
Ooh, that's a hard
a little
one.
Tough. I chose maybe the worst example I could have possibly chosen.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that we can plant to go back and forth. The date palm. Let's say the date palm.
All right. Yeah. Date palm. And you love date palm. They remind you of your mom. You miss her very much, but you're like starting a new life in America and you've moved to Portland and you're walking around and suddenly you see, oh my God, I've only seen fucking Norway maples and Douglas firs. I see a date palm and you're brought warm feelings of home and your mom.
Exactly.
And you go over there and they don't have any fruit because they're slowly dying.
Yeah, because they really don't like our temperatures, but hey, we're planting it because it's going to get warmer.
But the spirit of it makes you feel like you're home.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Totally.
Like, I don't think that can be understated. It's like how important, because we are such a, ideally we are such a diverse nation.
Yeah.
And our cities are supposed to be diverse. Diversity is good in not only trees, but in humans. I mean, this can all be applied to people, right?
It totally can, yeah.
Like the quality of life that brings, I think, is really important.
I agree. And I think we could probably keep on talking about these kind of diversity things over and over. Like there's every little bit comes, but what you just noted, I think, is important because it boils down to a resilience factor where there's resistance and resilience that I think we've also talked about a bit.
I'm curious the difference.
Yeah, this I looked this up because I thought it was very important.
Okay.
So resistance, let's say you have an urban forest with 100% trees. A disease comes through or some kind of disturbance.
What do you mean 100% trees?
You have X amount of trees.
Oh, right now it has 100%.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So this disturbance comes through, whether that's a storm, a disease, you know, loggers who are going crazy.
Okay.
You find that a highly diverse forest is better able to resist this disturbance, which means that it is better able to maintain whatever level of what I would say is the measurable thing, which is ecosystem service function, or the functioning of that ecosystem in the form of providing ecosystem services. So 100% trees gives you 100% service. We're just going to make this as general as possible so we don't have to do too much math.
Okay.
So a very resistance or an urban forest that has a high resistance, even as this disturbance comes through, it is able to maintain the highest level of basically resistance, I guess. Yeah, it's able to withstand that disturbance and not reduce that percentage of ecosystem services it's providing.
Okay.
Now, resilience is how quickly it can get back to 100%.
I see.
So diversity leads toward towards this because if we had 100 trees that are from 100 different species, if an insect comes through that attacks just one of those trees, we've only lost 1% of our trees. That's a great, great amount of resistance. And plant one more tree back, and then if that new tree grows and is able to survive, then boom, you got yourself a very resistant and resilient urban forest.
If 40% of your urban forest is one species of tree, and a disturbance comes through that affects only that species, you've lost 40%.
Exactly. So that is rough. That is not what you want. And if your resilience is very high, then you have to basically depend on the rest of it to get up and get bigger and do well.
Yeah.
Rather than your resistance would be not putting it so far back.
Sure. So you want a good balance of both.
You do, yeah. And the best way to do that is to plant a diversity of trees in a diverse way, young trees in all different places spatially spread out so that you can have young trees in every part of the city growing up to take over the spots of the old trees that will slowly be dying and need to be taken out for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to plant a diversity of forms and species so that if something happens, there's always going to be a tree that's there to provide the loss or to help pick up the slack when something else is lost.
When you say forms, you mean like big, tall, straight conifers?
Yes.
I mean big, broadleaf trees?
Exactly right.
Okay. You mean shrubs, rhododendrons, different things here?
Literally that.
And
also forms in the sense of like if a storm comes through, all of your fir trees are going to crush it. They're going to be doing great because they're like, yeah, I'm kind of designed for this.
Okay.
But then your smoke trees and your pears and crab apples are just going to get ripped apart. So if you have only pears and crab apples, a snowstorm comes, you're going to have them get wrecked.
Sure.
But if you plant in there a bunch of other trees that are able to take that form or that snowstorm because of their form, now you're doing okay.
Interesting.
So diversity is like so much more than just what's the species and how many or few should we have.
Yeah.
It goes through everything else. And if you are doing your job well, you should be looking around and saying, well, what trees are needed to be planted in this area based on what our objective is. And that would be objective of this place, the objective of the neighborhood, the block, the whole section of the city, the whole city itself.
Wow.
That's what I think diversity should be aiming towards.
I agree, Casey. That, I mean, you say if you're doing your job.
Yes,
which brings me to a question.
Indeed.
What job takes care of these things?
That is a great question. It would be like an urban forester.
Okay, planting that's what I trees. Thought. Yeah. Okay.
But then also it's the designer that is planning a landscape, you know?
Like the urban planner? Is that?
No, it would be urban planners. They more say, we'll put trees here. But they aren't the ones who say what trees to put there.
Okay.
You know?
I got you.
It would be the private landscape architects and the landscapers, the designers, and the arborists who are being consulted and the people who are saying, hey, what tree should I plant? And then you should look around and say, ooh, well, you have this like this, judging by the soil type, here's your palette. Now let's choose based on what your objective is for this tree.
I gotcha.
A big, beautiful tree that does something. You want a tree that is giving you the right ecosystem services. Do this.
Well, I got to say, Casey, this all sounds very interesting to me. Like, I'm intrigued by all of this kind of all these thought processes and all this work that's, and we have a lot of people. A lot of young people listening to our show, or people in at any age who have decided that they want to enter a career in trees.
Yeah,
this is an option for you. If this sounds interesting to you and you want to work to diversify your urban forest and put these concerns at the forefront of your city. This might be a career path for you.
Now's your chance. Yeah. In fact, the city of Portland right now is hiring a bunch of planting folks.
There you go.
The Reduction Inflation Act or whatever is
the Reduction Inflation. That sounds like it would just even out.
Yeah, everything's just fine. It's just, don't worry about it. We did the legislation.
It's just like a it's just like a placebo act.
Yeah.
First we reduce it, then we inflate it.
Everything feels great now. Everything feels great. There's a lot of money for tree planting in there.
Okay.
Now, Alex, I know normally you'd say, well, that's our discussion on the Norm Abel.
Right.
I have other things to say.
I'm not done. We're not done.
We ain't done yet.
Yeah, we have to talk about the tree itself.
Exactly. So this tree is invasive.
Oh.
Almost everywhere.
Oh, dang.
In North America. From like Maine to the Carolinas, Pacific Northwest, like middle, upper Midwest areas.
Okay.
It gets a little too dry in the kind of the Western Great Plains and the Great Basin kind of north of that too in Idaho. That kind of central dry, cold area, don't worry about it. Your Norway maples are not going to go ham.
Okay.
Out here in the Pacific Northwest. They will seed themselves in New York City. They will seed themselves in almost everywhere in the kind of northeastern section of North America.
Mm-hmm.
They'll seed themselves in.
Are you saying seed?
Yes.
Oh.
So seed themselves in means that the tree just plants itself.
Is it a play on see yourself in?
Ooh, I don't know if it is.
Well, it should be.
Well, it is now. Seed yourself in, baby.
Yeah. Take a seed.
Yeah. Take a seed, please. And then you know what? Seed yourself out.
Wow.
I wish that they would do this, but it's not going to happen. Mm. So Norway maples are one of the most reviled trees, not only because they're planted everywhere, but they also do a few things that everyone hates. They are one of the densest leafed trees that we have. So like things don't grow underneath them to the point where people like they must be poisoning the soil.
Right. They're like faux allelopathic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're not actually doing anything that's too intense, but it's just dark enough that things don't grow underneath them. They are dark enough that there is no like significant light to walk under. So they're like the shade is so dense. You're kind of like, oh my God, is it dark outside?
No,
you're just underneath these maples.
Wow.
Which is really good if you are really trying to shade the streets of a city.
Mm-hmm.
They're also invasive because they can grow almost anywhere.
Mm.
They can take the worst soil conditions and they just live. They're just fine with it. They're not too picky is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which is just perfect for a street tree.
Sure.
Just perfect. Big, dense shade.
Uh-huh.
The canopy doesn't get too big. It is dark and dense, so you can get this really nice, intense shade that no light is coming through and hitting the ground. That's perfect. Going over your house, not a single bit of sunlight is going to hit it directly. You're just going to have nice, dappled light. Ooh, baby, I love that.
It is hard to ignore the upsides.
The upsides. So the downsides, they seed themselves in. Where do you think they're seeding themselves in? I should put a caveat on the Northeast. In the Northeast, they actually are spreading a little bit further into the area because the natural areas.
Mm.
Because the conditions are actually very similar to Europe where they grow natively. So there's a little bit more problem there.
Okay.
But out here in the Pacific Northwest,
yeah,
they are seeding themselves in. They are slightly invasive.
Can I guess?
Yes.
In the middle of the fucking sidewalks?
No, not barely even that. It's nowhere close, Alex, to the Polonia or the Tree of Heaven.
Mm.
Tree of Heaven, Polonia.
Oh, sure.
They will be like, hey, what's this? And there'll be a gigantic tree in like 30 seconds growing out of a crack.
Okay, so this isn't like a sidewalk killer.
It does have shallow roots and it will grow up.
Okay.
So don't plant it in a small strip. Okay.
Parks?
But also, you can cut the roots, and they kind of still go for it.
Wow.
In parks, they still kind of go for it. Like, they're just fine. They cause trouble, but they don't cause so much trouble. There are trees that are further on the trouble spectrum by leaps and bounds.
Wow.
That you'd be like, don't plant a sweet gum anywhere near a sidewalk. It's going to destroy it. Red maple will destroy a sidewalk 10,000 times quicker and more than a Norway maple.
So where are they causing problems?
They're causing problems because they are slightly invasive, mostly everywhere. Now, here's my thing. Here's my controversial take.
Wow. Casey's plant rant.
This tree, Alex, is a it is invasive in urban areas.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to see it, and I know we're going to get so many people reaching out being like, oh, whoa, 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 no, over here, it definitely does get out into these native forests, and I accept that. So maybe this is not applicable for that area, but I think there is a spectrum of this. Like, people consistently will use Eastern North American findings over in the Pacific Northwest because we're looking for data. We're looking for anybody who's researched something. And then if the Northeastern Research Station in Massachusetts and New York was like, oh yeah, totally, this is a invasive tree right here in the kind of upstate New York area. Then the question is, well, does that actually apply to the Pacific Northwest? And then to what extent is it invasive? English holly, super invasive out here. Over there, there's buckthorn. There is the Callery pear and a honeysuckle in the southeast. Mm. They really are going, like, they are taking over native habitat.
Yeah.
And causing significant damage because nothing else is growing underneath them. They are out-competing the native species.
Sure.
To my knowledge.
Wow.
Norway maple, I can say certainly in the Pacific Northwest, is not causing like massive amounts of damage because it's growing where it's growing. It will never compete with our native trees. A Douglas fir will outcompete a Norway maple. Maybe it won't if it's growing in the dense shade underneath it, but that is kind of a rare phenomenon.
Or even the big leaf maple.
Yeah, big leaf maple. It could probably be that because big leaf maple grows faster and taller.
Yeah.
We have so many shade tolerant conifers that would grow underneath the Norway maple.
Sure.
Ivy does grow underneath the Norway maple, so these kind of combinations are there. But here's my issue. Where are these trees growing? And how are we defining what is native and non-native and what should be native and non-native in an area? So in Portland, and this is a hot take, people are going to be so pissed that I'm making this up right now.
Wow, I don't even know.
We live in the Portland metro area.
Yes.
So we are surrounded, for all intents and purposes, by man-altered landscapes to like 100% degree. It's not just like, oh, well, we built a house right here, but everything else is pretty much as it used to be. No, 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 no. You go out 10, 15, 20 miles in every direction, and we've either logged it, we've developed it, or we've completely changed it to the point where it's a natural park only because we didn't develop it, and we just let things grow back.
Sure.
Yet, if an invasive species is found in those areas, we're like, oh no, this is an invasive species in this beautiful natural area right next to the freeway.
Mm.
And it's like, wait, next to the freeway where there's like houses and development on either side, where there's blackberry underneath it, where there's European grasses, where we maybe get a camas species if we actually didn't destroy it too much and it's wet enough. Wait, that's the place that we're worried about?
Mm.
So what's the problem? Why are we vilifying such a tree when we ourselves have completely destroyed this landscape?
Wow.
And now it's like, yes, if there was a native species growing there, that would be better. But our native species in our natural systems, they are doing just fine. Again, this is Pacific Northwest. And if we need to really go out and manage it, like in Forest Park, for instance, maybe we should go over there and say, hey, Norway maple, don't want you over here. That could be about it.
Because that's far less developed.
Yeah, because that we want it to be as mimicking a natural system as we can. We want that.
Which does not include the Norway maple.
Yes. So my big point, and this actually goes back to the nuisance species list here in the city of Portland, mm-hmm. which is a list of trees that are essentially just invasive trees. And they
most wanted.
It is. It's literally a most wanted list.
Yeah.
But it comes with legislation. It comes with rules. If you want to remove one of these trees, it's an automatic yes. You can't. Unless it's a street tree, then it's not. Then we can say, well, it has to be in bad condition. But if it's on your private property, or if it's a street tree in development, it's an automatic yes.
Wow.
You may remove it. Doesn't matter if it is the world's most perfect, beautiful Norway maple. It is Norway maple with an angel crown on top of it. It has repented everything. It doesn't even make seeds anymore. You can cut it down. You can
tear it out of the ground.
Yeah, you can tear it out of the ground. You can spit on its dead body.
Okay, that's quite enough.
Sorry, Alex. And that legislation means that these trees are essentially just there. It's open season for them. You can just go and just kill them whenever you want.
They're like varmints.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, there are some trees, like, again, the Tree of Heaven, English holly, maybe English laurel. There are trees that absolutely should be removed if they can.
Mm.
Because on this invasive spectrum, they're noxious. Like, they're at a level where they are actively going in and destroying things. The English hawthorn is another one, or the common hawthorn. Crataegus monogyna that we covered. In its native habitat, it's great. Over here, it's awful and stupid, and it really causes trouble. But the Norway maple is not there. They also include the horse chestnut here in Portland
mm-hmm.
because someone found it in a natural area surrounded by suburbs and surrounded by development that's been logged 150 years ago, 100 years ago, and now it is just technically considered a natural area.
Yeah.
And now we're saying, oh, no. This tree, now in the middle of downtown Portland, outside your door right now, that horse chestnut is a invasive species, and it should not be in this city.
Interesting.
Even though the Norway maple, the European horse chestnut, crush it. They are such good trees for this urban area.
But it is still on the invasive species list.
It is on that nuisance list, yeah.
Nuisance list.
Exactly. So all this to say, we have right tree, right place. We want diversity of form. There are too many maples. We should not plant them anymore. If they need to come out, we should definitely take them out.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is no other good alternative tree that will grow, and let me remind you, in this very unnatural area outside of our house,
yeah,
does that, Alex, reach to the level of loathsomeness that it is being put at? Or is it a little bit of a grandiose statement to say, yes, this tree is invasive, but let's kind of define the naturalish area. If it's not a native species, if it's a tree that's growing in a non-native space,
mm-hmm.
can we really hold it to the fire for being a non-native tree that has found that it's very good at living in this non-native space?
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
I think so. So what you're saying is, like, it's on a nuisance list.
Yeah.
But it does great. And it's not that invasive. It's no Tree of Heaven. It's no, what was the other one you said?
The English holly.
English holly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Or English hawthorn.
And it does pretty good. Maybe it's not as big a nuisance as it's made out to be.
Yeah. And if you're upset that it's growing like in your backyard and it's seeded itself in, yes, you should get a permit to remove it. There's no reason that I'm trying to say that this tree should in every possible way be saved.
Yeah.
It should just have a middle ground where you're like, ooh, it is a naughty tree, but this is a naughty tree that is doing very good right here.
Right.
And it's the best at accomplishing our objectives right now. So why are we vilifying it so much?
Why, Casey?
Why?
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 What? Why?
Wait, Alex, are you?
I'm asking you.
Are you copying me?
Why?
I believe, Alex, that here in the Pacific Northwest, uh-huh. we just looked at legislation from New York and the East Coast. In the East Coast, it is an invasive tree.
Copy and pasted?
Exactly. We said, well, it must be invasive over here, invasive over here. Even though it's not a one for one.
Wow. Are you going to be found protesting in the streets, trying to get the legislature changed, saying take Norway maple off the do not want list?
Yes.
That's amazing, Casey.
Yes.
Is that the big thing that's going to get you a bunch of hate?
I think so, yeah. Honestly, it's like I have seen so many developments come through where there's Norway maples planted along the rows, along the street, and they're great. They look great. They're not causing any trouble. They're beautiful trees. They have great form. Their fall color is to be desired, but they are workhorses. Someone wants to come and remove them just because it's an invasive, it's on that nuisance list.
Yeah.
They can come through and then start over and, oh, what do they plant? Oh, it's a dogwood. Great.
Wow.
So all this to say, with the talk.
By the way, you've said that three times.
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite thing. So anyway, all that to
say. What is the end of this?
It's now, Alex. It is now. Having said that.
I'm giving Casey a hard time.
It's just not as black and white as I think it could be.
I feel you.
And I think there needs to be a spectrum of invasiveness, which in most places they have. Like they have a red list, a green list, a yellow. Like they have they have lists of like, this is a hyper noxious weed that we need to get rid of.
Right.
The tree of heaven is there. That I think sets the standard for a bad invasive tree. It does a lot of stuff. It will grow fast and take over. It will seed itself in and grow from the roots. It will actively crush things that are around it.
But that should not be on the same list.
It's not equated.
As Norway maple.
It's Norway maple as the European horse chestnut. Like, it's just those trees are not going to cause environmental damage in a place that you really have to really convince yourself is not already completely environmentally destroyed.
Casey, this is a moving of the goalposts.
Yeah.
This is destroying the environment and saying, oh, no. That thing, that tree destroys the environment.
Exactly.
Look over there.
Yeah, I'm like, this is a fake hill.
Right.
This is a completely fake hill that we are saying is a natural area.
Right.
And it's covered in like 10,000 invasive species. And we are now just choosing these ones.
Interesting.
If you can plant a native species there and have it become dominant and create this ecosystem that's better for all these other things, wonderful. That's great. We should do that.
But that's also not being done.
It's not being done. And so we are punishing ourselves, but we're not giving the positive side of it. We're just taking care of this negative side.
This is similar to, and I don't know enough about this to make a perfect correlation, but it reminds me of like how marijuana in a lot of places is like a class, whatever drug.
Yeah. Right.
As the same class as like crack cocaine.
Yes.
You know, like this, there should be a spectrum. There should be levels of these things. And I'm totally on your side, Casey.
Yes. Anyway, we should review it or else I'll keep going. I got you. I convinced you.
You got me.
Man, well, we're going to get so many emails about people saying, you're so misinformed, bro. Get out of here.
Bring them on.
Yeah, come on.
All that is to say, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with our review of the Norway maple here on Completely Arbitrary. Alex here. Here's a little something about me. I love to be cozy. Coziness is of utmost importance to me, and I am in a constant search for coziness. And that is why we present to you Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes luxurious bedding and clothing products. And what do I mean by luxurious? Let me tell you this. I now have Cozy Earth sheets on my bed. I wear a full Cozy Earth sweatsuit to bed. And I have been getting the best sleep of my life. It is quite literally the softest material I've ever put on my body, and my skin is so happy in it. I usually have a little bit of a sensory thing. I don't like things touching my skin. Clothes are tough. But with Cozy Earth, I am treated to superior softness, unparalleled fabric, materials, and weave. This is a real endorsement. It's the most comfortable material to ever grace my birthday suit. And guess what? You deserve this coziness too. So treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And you know what? Completely Arbitrary listeners, a little inside detail here. You all get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. That's T-R-E-E-S for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Now you go and get cozy.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back.
Oh my God.
Our break was about half a second. To completely arbitrary. That was our discussion of invasiveness, of the Norway maple,
diversity. And of
a diversity, a much reviled tree that maybe doesn't deserve the hate, or at least deserves a second chance.
Yes. Or at least doesn't deserve to be cut off at its knees.
Yeah.
If it's already there.
Fair enough. Kicked while it's down.
Thank you.
Beaten by a dead horse, as they say.
Spit on by an angry arborist.
It's time for our review.
This is going to be a fun one.
Here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts on the Norway maple and then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Casey, as our resident expert, will begin with you.
I appreciate this, Alex, because as last week we noted, you are a resident expert apprentice.
Yes, an honorary expert.
Yes, we're very happy with that.
Thank
Congratulations,
you.
By the way.
Thank you very much. I might have edited that out.
Oh, well, you learned about it now. Don't edit that one out, too.
I have no idea where you're going.
I don't either. Well, I kind of do.
Okay.
I actually gave some thought to this.
Okay.
I've had a lot of thinking. This is actually an episode where I just closed my computer. Mm-hmm. There's like no notes that we have to do.
Because yeah.
A, I'm very familiar with this tree.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it. So I mostly just like was sitting at a coffee shop just being like, what do I want to talk about this tree?
Yeah.
And then I realized I should just do this and just talk about these feelings.
I think it was perfect.
Thank you, Alex.
It's like a therapy session.
This really is. Alex. How do you feel about this tree?
How does the Norway maple make you feel?
Yeah. Oh, well, now I see you're squeezing your palms. Why don't you just relax? The diversity metric, I think, is very important. But I essentially wanted to bring up the entire diversity side of it to say, A, Norway maple is too much. Should not be planted. Period.
Yeah.
It is overplanted. It's mildly invasive at worst, hyper invasive at best.
In the Pacific Northwest.
Did I say that right? Yeah, I certainly said that right. It doesn't matter. Now that it's said, it's right.
In the Pacific Northwest.
In the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, clarify.
In the Northeast, it is far more invasive.
Yeah.
So it should not be planted any of these places. In the in Western Montana, there's actually a tree that they can only plant this kind of Norway maple because it grows there really well.
Mm.
It doesn't seed itself in. Great. That's a perfect tree. So we should focus on diversity moving forward. We should not necessarily say, oh, well, we want to focus on diversity, so let's cut all the trees that we have now,
right,
in order to get there. That
That
is shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
We already have something built. Do not dismantle it to build something anew.
Just start right here.
Exactly. Now, if you get the opportunity, do not plant that tree. Plant a new tree. Oh, is that one not doing so hot and we have an opportunity to cut it down and really move that forward? Okay, let's do that.
Sure.
It is not a tree that I think we need to save at all costs. Or at even a significant cost.
Like, or even a minor cost.
Yeah, honestly, it's a tree that is completely neutral, I think.
Sure.
Meanwhile, you have the idea that this tree is really good at its job.
Mm.
Like, it is really, really good at its job. As a street tree. Maybe not as a park tree, because we have so many other better options to plant as a park tree. But as a street tree, it's not bad. There's way worse that we still plant all the time.
Sure.
And I'm like, why is that? How does that make any sense? Meanwhile, again, we should not plant it again. But it's really good at its job. And the idea of it being invasive is just a little blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
But this tree sucks. I don't want to see it around, but I do not want to see it cut down, which means that this tree is exactly a 5.0 for me.
Yeah, that's exactly where I thought you were going.
Perfect. Right down the middle. I'm glad we're on the same page.
That's great, Casey.
Whenever I see, like, I've been walking around, there are some beautiful Norway maples that are in yards that someone planted in their front yard, and mm-hmm. it's a big tree. Like, yeah. It's probably 2 or 2.5 feet diameter. It's got this gorgeous crown. It's not too big. It's not too small. It's a nice looking tree. Mm-hmm. It's got this nice globe on it. I like the leaves. I heard once that the leaves provide the right amount of dappling for, like, to put outside hospital windows, I think is what this lady said. This is just a lady that came into the nursery I was working at. But I remember it because she said this is actually, like, written as a tree to use because it provides a very specific kind of shade.
In the bylaws.
Exactly. And I was like, well, that's good to know. Thank you.
I'm going to say that on a podcast in a few years.
In a few years. Oh, that was, like, literally 15 years ago. The other thing,
here's steel trap, Casey.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This was, it's also Stradivarius violins.
Yes.
I believe that the maple, the primary maple that was used, is a Norway maple.
Cool, yeah.
So they're great trees for these certain applications.
But
it's a tree that there are so many better trees to be planted. But like I said, 5.0, golden cones of honor, right down the middle.
Yeah.
Because don't plant anymore, but don't go out of your way to get rid of them. If you do see them in a natural area and there's another opportunity, do that. But I think first ask yourself, is this right now the best tree for this application in this spot? If I cut it down, will I be making this place better or will I be making this place worse?
Good question.
Just
to ask.
Because of this one arbitrary line that I've drawn.
Yeah. I mean, it might be like an emotional decision.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like check yourself.
All
of your urban foresters out there.
Yeah.
Check your hate. If Casey Clapp can check his hate on the Norway maple, so can you.
I have one planted right next to my house where I grew up.
Wow.
Remember this. I've climbed this tree a bunch of times. I've watched it grow from a teeny tiny little sapling to what it is today. And
hey, just as you yourself have done that, Casey.
Thank you, Alex.
You're not quite as big as a Norway maple.
Yeah, that one's a little bit bigger.
And you're close.
Got to do some pruning on it. It's getting a little rough over there.
See, I can say that to you, but if you said that to me, I would never forgive
like,
you.
How dare you? Well, yeah, so that's the that's the kind of thing. So I'm like, you know what? It's a nice tree. It's grown in a nice place. And my suburban backyard every now and then has a little seedling pop up. But can I tell you, Alex, how many Tree of Heaven seedlings pop up?
Oh, it's got to be an astronomical amount compared to the Norway
maple. Is like 100 to 1.
Yeah, and they're on the same list.
It's like, come on. And also, again, there's nothing around there that is a untouched, beautiful, pristine space that we have to treat as such.
Yeah, it's not like old growth.
Yeah.
It's been chopped to shit for hundreds of years.
Yeah, I get it. You want to make it better, make it better. But again, ask yourself, is that going to happen immediately? Or am I just doing this because this tree does not belong here?
Yeah.
Because before you do that, look around and tell you what else should not belong here. And is this actually a natural space? Or is this now just a different kind of park with different species profile because we have changed it so significantly from its native condition?
Fair enough, Casey. Huh. That's all I'm giving you.
Thank you. I can't say
anymore. Your plant rant is over. I'm banging the gavel.
All right. All right. I'm gonna sit over here and give you a full 5 minutes to talk.
I don't need it. Here's my opinions. I think this tree is whatever. I have such a low to medium low opinion of this tree. I don't really give a shit about it. It's ugly as shit. It's grandma's couch. It's a 4.0.
I love that. I talked for 25 minutes and I was like, that's whatever.
That stuff I'm totally on board with you with.
Yes.
With you with. I think the fact that the 40% maple thing is just so crazy.
It's outrageous.
What happened? Where did we go wrong?
Honestly.
And then the fact that, yeah, the Tree of Heaven and the Norway maple exist in this same sphere of like invasive, gotta cut them out, city's most wanted is also kind of weird. But I can't deny how the Norway maple makes me feel, which is that I hate it.
Yeah. So maybe, are you saying that there is a significant emotional part that maybe I've completely missed?
I am saying that. Not that you've missed. Is that I'm taking advantage of, which is the part of our whole podcast, right?
Exactly. We take advantage of our emotions.
It's how it makes you feel.
Exactly.
And the Nora Maple, I completely agree with you on all points, but I don't like this tree.
I still hate this tree.
You know what? I'm dropping it to a 3.5. That's where I was going to be anyway. 3.5.
Good. You know what? 3.0 for laughing so much. I hate that tree.
That was our review of the Norway Maple. We hope you enjoyed it. It is time for our completely arbitrary Q&A, where we get a listener question. If you want to get a question on the podcast or a chance of getting a question on the podcast, join the Patreon, patreon.com/arbitrarypod. Bunch of different tiers there. If you join at the $3 Q&A Quercus and Alder tier, we may read your question on an episode, a mainline episode of this show. And if we don't do that, we will answer it in a big marathon Q&A Patreon exclusive.
Very exciting.
If you don't know what we're talking about, that sounds like complete gibberish. But the moral of the story is please go support us on Patreon.
Thanks.
Casey.
Alex, what do we got here today?
Wow. Here's a big question from Kevin.
Kevin. Kevin of the big questions.
Yes.
All right, Kevin, what do you got?
What tree do you think has had the greatest social or historical impact on a group of people or time period?
Wow.
This could be a specific singular tree, like a specimen, or a species of tree. Curious to hear what to you is one of the most, quote, important trees.
Wow.
Thanks, Kevin. Whew. Now, this is probably, you know, I chose this question knowing that it probably could be like an entire episode's worth or entire series worth.
Could be a whole podcast.
Yes, that's true. But we are going to sort of off the dome talk about this, Casey. And I have an answer, but you're not going to like it.
Ooh, please tell me it's Norway maple.
It's apple.
Apple.
I think apple, Malus domestica.
Yeah.
Is one of the most influential trees in the United States to our culture and our society at large. That's an overstatement. To our culture, our cuisine, our fall time activities.
Wow.
You got to go apple picking, you know?
I'm stunned.
It's got to be, Casey.
I don't think you're wrong.
And that's not putting a value on it. That's not saying I love it. But it is saying that it is extremely influential.
Yeah. That is...
As they say, what's more American than apple pie?
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
That's my answer. I'm sorry.
Ooh, that's a good answer. I think it's true. It's like what People has like the person of the year.
Yeah.
And like one year it was Donald Trump and like everyone was like, what? And they're like, bro.
It's not the good person of the year.
It is the person of the
right.
year. Yeah.
Which is a completely fair choice for that year.
It was 100% the most influential thing that happened in the world at the time.
So what do you think, Case? What's the most influential tree to people or place?
This is so hard because I need to think on your level because I think like, oh, that world. What is so goddamn funny?
That could have been so insulting.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me just dumb myself down so I can think like Alex Croson for a second.
Let me think on your level here. You mean the way I answered.
You answered at this very large scale.
Yeah, don't overthink
it. Like, you took off everything on the top and you said, oh, yeah, this is just an apple. Like, this is simple yet far-reaching.
Yes.
I always constantly think of like a tree and then the things like the Peiwen. I think of this all the time. Like it meant so much to those people.
Yeah.
And then there's like the ginkgo. It meant so much to certain people. There's trees, the silk tree, the ceiba tree of Freetown, you know, like those exact people. But that I think is for, you can think of a tree like that for almost every people.
Yeah, that's kind of the interesting part. It's like every culture, I feel like, has at least one tree of life.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So which one could it be that would be like the bigger thing there? Apple's a good answer. Well, that's a really good answer. Ooh, this is hard, Alex. Okay, so I'm trying to think of a species that has done something to shape something. And this is kind of what the whole podcast is about, you know? Trees have shaped humans, and we've just picked individual little stories about
how
that is.
That's a nice way of looking at our show.
Yeah, that's how I conceptualize it often.
Cool.
Those relationships But then I guess, you know, we get off on tangents about, you know,
you gotta
frogs.
less about how people shape trees and more about how trees shape people.
Yeah. Right.
Cool.
Ooh. Oh, honestly, like a part of me wants to say something like the Douglas fir or the radiata pine, like a species that has had an impact in one regard or another, or like a eucalyptus where,
oh yeah,
it's not so much that we eat it or it's a cultural thing. It has become like a ubiquitous timber tree. And without it, we would not have built what we've built, how we built it.
I think there's a case to be made for the Western red cedar as well, Case.
Really? But it's not planted super far and wide.
I mean, for the indigenous people of the area.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, very much. Yeah, of course. I guess I was trying to think of that the higher level.
Okay.
Because, like, Douglas fir was cut down and helped build, like, the United States. Like, right. It was shipped all over the nation, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And radiata pine became this tree that is planted in, like, by the millions everywhere in the entire side of sort of semi-subtropical spaces as a plantation tree.
Yeah.
It's grown up really intensely. Some of the spruce trees were made in World War I airplanes, and so we wouldn't have been able to build airplanes the way we did that caused such huge damage without having this one species of tree grow a certain way.
Yeah. Live oak.
Yeah, live oak, exactly. Like
built the U.S. Navy.
Right? But again, it makes me think like we're getting too myopic, too close,
yeah,
too esoteric.
Think surface level.
Yeah.
Like apple.
It feels like apple is the best choice.
Oh my God. Like, and it's happening.
I can't even think of like another fruit tree that is as ubiquitous as the apple. Maybe the olive, but olive.
Sure, yeah. Olive is a great choice, actually.
But olive doesn't have the cultural everything with it that apples do. Like, you don't give an olive to your teacher, you know?
You give an olive branch in peace, Casey.
That's it's true.
Like, I think olive oil in the Mediterranean is like the huge, backbone of everything. I think olive might be olive is sort of like the apple of the Mediterranean, I think.
Well, that's fair, but I think there's also apples in the Mediterranean.
That's true.
Oh.
What do you think, Case? Apple or olive? Those are your two choices.
I would say apple for sure.
Okay.
Of those two choices. Am I sure? No. I feel like I need to ruminate on this and meditate for a couple days.
That was sort of the reason I chose it, Casey.
Yeah, because you wanted to be off the dome.
Yes, exactly. I didn't want you to ruminate for a few days.
Very
I wanted
well
you to
done.
Just go with your gut.
Very well done.
Well, thanks.
Ah, ooh, God. And we haven't even gotten to the tropics. Because that could be something like the nani or some other fruit that has been like passed around and gone through. But then also like, what about the what about the nutmeg and its impact on like Manhattan? You know, like that whole story. So if that didn't happen, where would the world be?
Right.
If Noah didn't build the ark from the cedar of Lebanon, we wouldn't even have giraffes. What does it mean?
Nutmeg, the tree that built capitalism.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you so much, Kevin. We could go on, but we will stop ourselves there.
Reed, Casey could go on, and I need to get on with my day.
If you've got a question for us, like I said, join up on the Patreon. Or if you get to the end of your month and you think, hey, you know what? Casey and Alex have brought me $5 worth of entertainment.
$17 worth of entertainment.
$25 worth of entertainment this month.
$1 million of entertainment.
If you listen to us more than you watch Netflix, you should probably be supporting the show.
Yes. And if you send us an email and you want us to respond to it, send us your PayPal link with $5.
Oh my God, Casey.
Is that too groveling?
Casey is joking.
I am very much joking. You can send us an email 100%.
Yeah, hello@arbitrarypod.com.
That's right.
Of course, the crown jewel of our Patreon is the Cone of the Month Club. Every month we send out cone stickers. It's conifer cone stickers illustrated by a different artist every month. We've had some repeat artists, but never a repeat cone.
Mm-mm.
And build your own cone collection. It's $10 a month. You get a little info card that comes with it, and it comes into your mailbox, your actual physical, literal mailbox.
Yeah. If you don't remember what that is,
yeah.
You go out to your street,
uh-huh.
Look at your house,
yeah.
There's going to be some weird appendage coming out from just beyond the sidewalk. It's hollow, and it has a little flag on it.
Yeah.
Just go knock on that, and that's the thing we're talking about.
And if you live in an apartment, you were given this little key when you first moved in. You thought, what is this?
Yeah, and there's like a row of strange boxed compartments. Yeah. Those are the things.
Like a futuristic prison for tiny little people.
Yeah, which is really just a prison for paper until you free them. That is called receiving your mail.
And we ask you to free a little paper and support the podcast. Am I right, Case?
Ugh.
I guess it's cotton. Anyway, Casey.
Alex Croson, well done today. Thanks for listening to me go in circles and circles and circles.
You're welcome, Casey. I'd do it anytime.
Wow.
Thanks for letting me put a stop to it.
You're welcome. As we were just spiraling ourselves down into a hell.
Sometimes I wonder what you would be like without any restriction. And I think it would be like Tony Stark, you know?
That or Charlie Sheen, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Casey's really going wild right now.
He's jumping on a couch.
He did an entire national tour about ranting on the Norway maple. Thousands of people bought tickets.
I think you probably could.
Just a national tour about my thoughts on the Norway maple.
Yeah, why not?
Interesting idea.
And in the meantime, you got this podcast.
In the meantime, while I set that up, I'm going to give Oprah a call, see if I can get on that couch.
Get on that couch.
Yeah.
I'm in love. I'm in love with the Norway maple.
All right, turn off the TV, okay? Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary. Hey, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.